This morning's reading is from Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 to 16. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous famine in Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." Because he was afraid to say, "She is my wife," he thought, "The men of this place might kill me on account of Rebekah, because she is beautiful." When Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife, Rebekah. So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her." Then Abimelech said, "What is this that you have done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech gave orders to all the people, "Anyone who harms this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Isaac planted crops in the land and the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us."
Thank you, Elise. Good morning, everyone. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. We're going to spend some time through the whole chapter. As we mentioned last week, it'll be good if you can read the chapters ahead of time, because we might not read the whole chapter, but we might preach from the whole chapter. Allow me to pray before we come to God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks and praise for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to worship you, sing praises, and sing about your greatness, your love, and your amazing grace. This morning, be gracious to us as we turn our eyes towards your word. Lord, may your spirit minister to us and give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond. We ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's a story behind this. The story involves a very eager youth pastor. He was newly appointed, and his task was to grow the youth group, grow the numbers. And then he tried various things, including giving incentives to the existing small group of youth to bring their friends. And one of the incentives that he gave was, okay, at the end of the term, we will all have a trip to the local theme park, the amusement park. And one of the leaders of the church got on board and said, "All right, let's see how this goes. I'm happy to fund all the tickets for this amusement park so the kids can go free to this theme park." And the youth pastor got got working. And the first few weeks, it was very slow. The numbers were very small, not many new people. But as the term went by, the numbers started growing. And so towards the end of the term, he rang this leader who offered to pay for all the tickets and gave the good news and said, "All right, how about those tickets?" And he asked, "How many?" He said, "Well, I've got about 48 kids." And he got a shock. 48? Are you sure all these are coming every week to the youth group? And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, I can't afford that much." So he had to back out of his promise. Now, the gist of the story is sometimes we do that, don't we? We make big promises, we make big commitments, but then we struggle to keep them. We struggle to be faithful to the promises or the commitments that we make. Now, faithfulness. That's what we're going to think about today from the chapter that we read this morning. But before we go any further, just a bit of a recap where we have been all this time. If you have been with us over the past couple of years, you will remember that we have been spending time in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Each time we took some time to look at a chunk of chapters. So last year we spent from chapters 12 to 25 looking at the journey of faith of this man named Abraham. And back in Genesis 12 we saw how God gave three great promises to Abraham. That he will give a land, a place to live. He will give him many descendants, and he would bless the nations, bless the world through Abraham. And you'll remember, as Abraham began this journey, he faced with big challenges, right? The land that God promised is occupied. Sarah, Abraham's wife, is barren and she can't have children, so they don't have children. And still, Abraham is a burden, not a blessing. And you will remember how Abraham tried to kind of fast track or help God to keep some of these promises, right? Especially the promise of children. And he miserably failed. But in God's perfect timing, God gave Abraham and Sarah a son. When Sarah was 90 years old, and God asked them to name him Isaac, which means laughter. God brought laughter to this family. And by the time we come to Genesis chapter 26, Abraham and Sarah are both dead. And we wonder what would happen to God's great promises, God's big plans. How would Abraham's son, Isaac, go about with his relationship with God? And surprisingly, the writer doesn't give a lot of airtime to Isaac. In fact, only chapter 26, we have a full account of Isaac. All the other times, he's part of some other person's story. He's colorless. He's not prominent. We don't have, if you go to Kurong or some bookshop, we don't have books written on the faith of Isaac. He's just an ordinary man. A husband, a father. He's the link between Abraham, the big character that we saw last year, and Jacob, who is the next big character in the story of the book of Genesis. Jacob is the main focus in chapters 25 to 26 to 35 in the book of Genesis. We'll get to him in the next few weeks. But what can we learn from Genesis chapter 26? Now, I'm going to suggest that through this ordinary, colorless man, the writer wants us to see just one thing. The faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness. That the God of Isaac is utterly trustworthy. And if he is trustworthy, the simple and yet profound challenge for Isaac and all of us is, would you trust in God's faithfulness? In the circumstances that we find ourselves today, would we trust God to provide, to protect, to give us peace, to be with us, and to guide us? Let's have a look at this chapter. It begins with a problem, doesn't it? It begins with a problem. Verse 1 in chapter 26. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the previous one, because famines were very frequent in this part of the world. A famine threatens the lives of people, right? You can't grow food. There's no water. And people and animal die. And like his father, Isaac did the sensible thing. He's on the move to find water and food. And on his way, he stops at Gerar or Gerar in the land of the Philistines. And he's on his way to perhaps to Egypt, as we will see a bit later, to the fertile, the ever-flowing Nile. And it is here that God first appears to him. And he says, stay here. He gives him a command. Do not go down to Egypt. That's what your father did. You stay here, in the land that I tell you to live. And the command is followed by a promise, isn't it? The command is followed by a promise. God says, I will be with you. I will bless you. I will increase your descendants. I will bless you through the nations. I will give all these lands to you. So stay here. You see, God graciously appears to Abraham's son Isaac, and he gives him all the reasons why he should stay. Stay here not because it's going to be safe for you, not because you will have food and water here, not because people are going to love you and care for you and provide for you, not because you are a really nice guy. No, go, God says, basically, because I am going to be with you. I will be with you. And I will bless you. And if I am with you, you do not need anything or anyone else. The best place to be is where I am, God says. And God, if you saw in the previous verse, he undertakes to look after him, right? Provide him, do everything for him. And the challenge for Isaac is, would you trust and obey me? Would you trust and obey me? So how did Isaac respond? How did Isaac respond to this challenge? And he starts well, doesn't he? He starts really well. Isaac stayed in the land. He stayed in the land. Well done, Isaac. I mean, you've done really well. But in the very next verse, you will see he stumbles, doesn't he? He stays, but when he sees the people around him, he is afraid. And as you can see, he lies to save his own life. Then he told the people of the town that Rebekah was his sister. Now, Rebekah was a beautiful lady, we are told. And if you remember, this might be very familiar to you if you know your Bible. Isaac's father Abraham, not just once, but twice, did this, right? To save his life. Seems the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Like father, like son. Isaac is a little bit like the New Testament character Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, isn't it? Do you remember when Jesus invited Peter to step out of the boat and walk towards him? And he did well. He started walking. After a few steps, he looks around and he sees the winds and the wave, the storm, and he takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts drowning. Here, Isaac doesn't trust that God, who called him to stay in the land, can actually protect him and his family. And when he doesn't trust God, he takes matters into his own hands, right? He becomes selfish, he's afraid, he puts his wife in danger, he puts God's plans in danger. Now, if we pause a bit here, are we any different? Now, we hear great sermons. We read about God's great attributes, how powerful He is, how loving, how immeasurably gracious He is, that God is all-knowing and that He's all in control of everything. Like this morning, we sing with great gusto that we won't fear the battle, that we won't fear the night, that we will walk the valley with you by our side, that if God is for us, who can stand against us? He's a strong and mighty fortress. But how easily can a sickness, losing a job, a bad news, failing an exam perhaps, hearing a no, a relationship breakdown, a death of a loved one, knock us down? We worry and panic. We get depressed, angry, and afraid. We lose sleep. We look for shortcuts and cheap options. We lie, we cheat, we get angry, we manipulate people and systems. And some people run after crystal balls and tarot cards. And we stop going to church and interacting with God. We fail to trust God. And sometimes we tend to kind of pick and choose which areas that we are going to trust God for. And in the process, sometimes we put ourselves in danger, we put our family and our friends in danger, we bring God's name into disrepute, and we miss seeing the mighty hand of God at work, don't we? And then we stop growing spiritually. Now verse 8 says, if you look back, that Abraham lied and got away with it for a long time. Right? He got away with it for a long time. He would have thought, well, all is well. No one got hurt. I am safe, right? And God hasn't punished me. Perhaps God might even be okay with this. So how did God respond? How did God respond? We wonder, isn't it? Would God still be faithful now that Isaac has been unfaithful? Would he restart? Would he give up? This is too hard. Would he be faithful? Now, as we read the rest of the chapter, you will see he is faithful. He is faithful. And the rest of the chapter shows us what God's faithfulness look like. What God's faithfulness look like. I'm not going to go into details most of these pictures that I will give you, but the very first thing that we see is A faithful God exposes sin. A faithful God exposes sin, doesn't he? God doesn't allow Isaac to go on in his sinful ways. See, one day, Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, he looks down from his window and then he sees how Isaac is treating this Rebekah in a very unsisterly manner, right? He's having fun with Rebekah, his sister, in an unsisterly way. And he's busted, isn't he? Imagine the shame, the embarrassment, the fear Isaac would have felt when he was summoned into the king's court and asked to give a reason why this happened. And he, to his credit, Isaac confesses, right? And he's rebuked. You see, friends, God does not allow us, especially those who love him, to go on in their sinful ventures. He often stops them in their tracks. He does that not because he hates us, not because he wants us, he doesn't want us to have fun. No, he does that because he loves us. He cares for us. He wants to protect us and those around us. And especially from the consequences of the foolish decisions that we often make without trusting God. He does that so that we won't bring dishonor to his name. And friends, we must be wary if we are continuing in our sinful ways, in our ungodly, unholy paths, thinking it's okay, or thinking even worse, thinking that God is okay with it. Because he's not. And God will not let us go on. Sooner or later, he will stop us in our tracks. Now, I meet with this guy now. I should qualify this. He's not someone from this church, okay? So don't look around and say, who is Dilan meeting? For years, this guy has been watching pornographic videos without anyone knowing. But one day, he got caught to his sister. And the whole family came to know about it, including his newly married wife. There was shame, embarrassment, there was anger. His new marriage was about to get shattered. His life was shattered. See, he had to make a complete U-turn, and by God's grace, he did. Now he serves in a local church. He has a beautiful family. He's married to the same lady. And he helps those who struggle with pornography. You see, if not for God's grace in exposing his sin, he would still be living a life of lies, isn't it? See, part of God's faithfulness to his people is he exposes, he convicts us of our sin so that we can repent and turn to him and find his grace. The second thing God shows his faithfulness is by protecting Isaac, isn't it? Now, God could have easily punished Isaac then and there, right? He could have destroyed him, and some of the stories that we read in the Bible, God did that. But look what happened. Instead of punishment and judgment, God actually shows him grace, right? Instead of getting rid of him and his family, Abimelech, what does he do? He protects Isaac and his family. He orders the people not to touch or harm Isaac or Rebekah, and whoever does anything to them will be put to death. God's protection. Third, God prospers, right? You see, we are told that Isaac planted seeds. And in the same year, just imagine that, in the same year, he reaped hundredfold. Now imagine this. This was a time of famine. In a time of famine, when there's no water, when there's no food, you could be happy with maybe 20-fold, maybe 50-fold of harvest. We are told he reaped 100-fold. Because why? The Lord blessed him. Verse 13. He's rich and wealthy. He's got cattle and sheep and he got so many servants. He's become rich. And he's the envy of the people in the land. Down to verse 16. He's too powerful than the Philistines. You see, God prospers Isaac. Fourth, God shows faithfulness by providing, right? Providing water. Don't you find it interesting? During a famine, everyone is looking for water. They're digging and they're looking for water. But wherever Isaac goes, the moment he puts the shovel down, he finds water. Not once, not twice, not three times. Many times. Why? Because a faithful God provides for his people. The next thing we find is a faithful God is present, isn't it? He's present with his people. You see, after he had failed, you would expect God, all right, God's kind of saying, well, I'm going to keep Isaac at an arm's length. I'm not going to, like, go and stay with him, or I'm not going to talk to him too much. But he doesn't do that, right? Verse 24. He appears to him. He appears to him and he appears to him not in the temple, no, in this foreign land. And he tells him not to be afraid in a foreign land, living among foreign people. Why? Again, you see the words? For I am with you. He's a God who is near to his people. Sixth, God gives him peace, right? He's in a foreign land. He's got enemies. There are servants who is fighting with his servants. There's a king who is envious. And he's got to always look over his shoulders to see who is coming to get his life. We are told in verse 31. Abimelech and the Philistine king and Isaac made a treaty to be at peace. Now Isaac can live in this foreign land without fear, because God has given him peace. And finally, you know what God does through this colorless, ordinary man? He promotes his name. Imagine that. God promotes his name. Have a look at verse 28. When Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, come to make a peace treaty with Isaac, notice what he says. We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. Isaac, you didn't do all this. You're prosperous. You have everything, not because you are great, but because your God is great. Now, this is amazing, isn't it? Through a colorless, ordinary, sinful man, unbelievers come to know who God is. And another thing Isaac does is after God appears to him, he builds an altar. He builds an altar and worships God in a foreign land. Again, here is God's name being promoted by his people. See, friends, when God's man, Isaac, fails to trust in him, what does God do? What does God do? He still shows his faithfulness, right? He exposes sin. He protects. He provides. He prospers. He gives peace. He is present. And he promotes his name. What's the point? What's the point? Maybe have a chat to the person next to you. You heard the sermon. What's the point? Have a chat to the person next to you. Few people want to share your thoughts. What's the point? Sorry? Yeah, he keeps his promises. If you have faith, he will never let you down. Others? God is faithful. Yes. If you show trust, he can prosper you. Okay. Others? God is faithful to his word, even when we are unfaithful. Even when we are unfaithful. And friends, if he is such a faithful God, the question for you and for me this morning is, would we trust him fully? Would we trust him fully with our future, with our exams passed, with our sicknesses, with our diagnosis, with our fears and anxieties, with our jobs, finances, with our visas? Would you trust him for your future husband or your wife? For your children? Would you trust him with your life? Would you trust that he would do immeasurably more than what you can ask or imagine? Because that's what, when you look at Isaac's life, you find, isn't it? He doesn't deserve all this, what we've seen earlier. But God does immeasurably more than what he could ask or imagine. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Perhaps you need to bring whatever the matter that you are going through to him. Your fears, your worries, your failures, your anxieties and your struggles, to trust in him and ask God to help you to surrender yourself to him. And perhaps, like Isaac, you may have taken a wrong turn. And you're wondering if it is too late. No, you're not. The faithful God is waiting. You just need to confess your sins, repent and turn back to him and find his forgiveness and grace. Because he is a faithful God. So I'm going to give us a couple of minutes to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you through what you've heard today. And then I will lead us in a prayer afterwards. So take a couple of minutes to reflect and maybe even pray and commit yourself to God again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to look at this chapter, these words that speaks to us all the centuries. You know, it speaks to us today. Lord, we are so thankful about your faithfulness, your utter faithfulness, your trustworthiness. And Father, we pray in all our life circumstances, Father, may we be drawn to know what it means to trust you, your faithfulness, and open our eyes to see how faithful you have been in our lives, how you have protected us, how you have provided for us, how you have exposed our sins, how you have given us peace, how you have been present with us, and even without our knowledge, how you have promoted your name through us. We are thankful for your faithfulness. This morning, we pray and ask, Lord, help us weak and unsteady. Help us to be faithful to you. Help us to obey you and live our lives to bring honor to you. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.